Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's show. I'm your host, Zach Drew. There's going to be two huge news happenings that we're going to be talking about on today's program that you're very likely not going to hear on the 5 o'clock news. I cannot stress enough how detrimental these could be, and I believe that they absolutely are a sign of the times in which we live. Let me start off by simply just saying something that you already know, and that's free speech in America is under attack. We are losing the right of free press, the right of free speech, due to unlimited, unharnessed censorship. And something must be done. And in general, the First Amendment guarantees the right to express ideas and information. On a basic level, it means that people can express an opinion, even an unpopular opinion or an unsavory one, without fear of censorship. For thousands of years, people would gather at the gates of a city to discuss matters. And for hundreds of years, Americans would do the same thing. They would meet at the town square. We would meet at the town square and we would discuss things to freely express our opinions. When was the last time you went to your town square and met up with all of your neighbors to discuss the matters of the world? You haven't. We haven't, okay? And that's just it. Even though, and I'm not referring to going to city board meetings or city council meetings or school board meetings. You need to be there. I'm talking about like at a town square. We don't do that. Whether you like it or not, the new town square in this digital age in which we live today is social media. That's where it is. That is where we express to the world our opinions quite freely. Some of you do it way too freely, but that is your right, okay? It's Facebook, Google, YouTube, Instagram. That is the new town square. Now, with that being said, I need you to listen to me. The Supreme Court just heard two social media cases that could reshape how Americans interact online. It is an epic case of the citizens' right to free speech without censorship on social media platforms, and the tech companies' right to censor that free speech. Now, both Trump and Biden have weighed in on these cases, truly upping the ante. Now, Trump is obviously in favor of the user. Biden is in favor of the tech companies. The decision the Supreme Court makes on these two cases will be absolutely huge for what happens to you and I. Our voices either will be allowed or stifled on a permanent basis. Another topic on today's program that we're going to be discussing is another one you're not going to hear tonight on the evening news. And it's that certain states right now are seeking to put into law financial incentives for turning in your neighbors for what they feel are hate crimes. Before we get into that, I just want to remind you, listen, topics like these, keeping you informed, that is why you tune in every week to this program. And we're going to be ending the program with a lot of scripture today, basically backing up the claims that we're going to be making throughout today's program. And I just want to encourage you that if you receive something from this program on a weekly basis, go to ZachDrewShow.com and get behind us in a financial matter. We need a lot. We need a great deal of people giving on a monthly recurring basis to keep moving forward. This year is a critical year and we need your help. Just go to ZachDrewShow.com, click that bright orange donate button, or you can give the old-fashioned way. You send it to Zach Drew Show, P.O. Box 797, Decatur, Illinois, 625 5. We'll be right back after this. All right, let's get right into this monumental case that was just heard. The first oral arguments were heard in front of the Supreme Court just last week. So, Supreme Court struggles with regulation of social media. Florida and Texas should be allowed to regulate how social media platforms moderate content, lawyers for the two states told the Supreme Court on February 26th. During oral arguments, the justices seemed to be grasping for a new rule they could use to apply free speech principles to online discussions. This is the first time that the nation's highest court has reviewed state laws that deem social media companies as common carriers, a status that might allow states to impose utility-style regulations on platforms and forbid them from discriminating against users based on their political viewpoints. Both conservatives and liberals, the left and the right, they're watching these two cases very closely. We understand that there is a great deal at stake. Americans have the right to be able to freely express themselves. Free speech online. That is a right that we all know is protected by the First Amendment of the Constitution. Now, social media platforms have the right and protection to make editorial decisions about the content they host, meaning they can delete your content and, as we've seen, delete you from their platforms. Both rights are protected by the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. So that is why how they interpret these laws is going to be unbelievably important. And we are going to receive their final, I don't know what you refer to as verdict, their final ruling, their opinions that they're going to give in just a couple of months. And I'll have that exact date for you just later on in the show. So the article continues by stating this: Republicans and conservatives were outraged when platforms acted in concert to ban President Donald Trump in January 2021. Blocked a potentially election-altering New York Post article about Hunter Biden's laptop in 2020, and silenced dissenting opinions about the origins of the COVID-19 virus, the treatments for the disease it causes, and the vaccines. They say that social media platforms have become the new town square, which is true, and that users' speech therefore enjoys a constitutional protection. Democrats and liberals, on the other hand, claim that the platforms don't do enough to weed out so-called hate speech and alleged misinformation, which they consider to be pressing social problems. So the amount of censorship that Christians have experienced, conservatives have experienced, pales in comparison to what the left wants to do and is seeking to do at this very moment. Understand that. I want to give you a little timeline of the events that we are witnessing right now. So, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 11th Circuit halted part of the law, and Florida appealed to the Supreme Court. All right, so the states that the Supreme Court has to do is Texas and Florida. Now, when signing the law in 2021, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, a Republican, said that it ensures that Floridians are guaranteed protection against the Silicon Valley elites. If big tech censors enforce rules inconsistently to discriminate in favor of the dominant Silicon Valley ideology, they will now be held accountable. President Donald Trump filed a brief with the Supreme Court in October of 2022 as a private citizen in support of Florida. Recent experience has fostered a widespread and growing concern that behemoth social media platforms are using their power to suppress political opposition, his brief reads. Ohio, Arizona, Missouri, Texas, and 12 other states argued in a court brief that the internet is the modern day public square and that social media platforms engaging in censorship undermine the free exchange of ideas that free speech protections exist to facilitate. Here's another quote. The 11th Circuit struck down part of the Florida statute, finding that with minor exceptions, the government can't tell a private person or entity what to say or how to say it. Even the biggest platforms are private actors whose rights the First Amendment protects, and their so-called content moderation decisions constitute protected exercises of editorial judgment, just simply at your expense, by the way. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit took the opposite tack, finding a Texas anti-deplatforming law constitutional and rejecting the idea that corporations have a freewheeling First Amendment right to censor what people say. Both states require platforms to explain their content moderation decisions, a mandate that platforms consider to be overly burdensome. So the decisions in these two cases that will have a huge impact on our lives, will have a huge impact on this ministry, are expected by June 2024 as this year's presidential and congressional election season heats up. So another thing is, and I looked over here because it just started pouring outside, Justice Amy Coney Barrett commented on the cases by stating that there are a bunch of landmines to consider. Here's her quote. And if that's a landmine, if what we say about this is that this is speech that's entitled to First Amendment protection, I do think that then that has Section 230 implications for another case. And so it's also always tricky to write an opinion when you know there might be landmines that would affect things later, she said. So to be clear, what she just said, the landmine she's referring to is Section 230, something that absolutely needs to be just stripped away, just totally changed. That is what gives the social media platforms immunity from any type of legal matters when it comes to censoring us. Section 230 grants technology companies such as Facebook, Google, Twitter, now X, increased legal immunity to moderate content on their platforms. And they say it's to prevent frivolous lawsuits, basically just protect companies from being sued. But through that, it also gives the right for these companies to police the content on their site, i.e. they can delete content if it is offensive or hateful. So right now, because of Section 230, if they deleted every single conservative voice in America, they would technically have legal immunity because of what they deem as hate speech. You understand that? Like, there is no accountability whenever they have been given protection by our federal government, that they have the right, they have been given the right to silence you. The largest information centers on the planet have been given the right by our government of the United States of America to censor you, to delete you. And that is why this is such a huge election issue. Because Biden, I honestly think before the elections can even happen, he's going to try to rewrite it. Because he understands that if President Trump gets into office, it could spell the end of censorship for these major media platforms. Because both Donald Trump and Joe Biden, along with other major players on both sides, they want to either repeal or rewrite Section 230. And it is very important that Section 230 is rewritten carefully and by the right people. Because as we stated, this entire case that the Supreme Court is hearing right now, both liberals and conservatives are tuning in for what this means. Because the conservatives, are, like I said, are pro-individual citizen users. And the liberals are saying, no, the tech companies aren't doing enough with more censorship. If Democrats have the power to rewrite Section 230, then the censorship that we have seen on social media platforms will pale in comparison to what will come. And the censorship that comes will have the power of the law behind it. So, I mean, did you even know this was going on? I talked to people and I said, you know, I talked about what's going on. They have no idea. They didn't even know this is happening. And it's going to, and it will change and affect our lives so greatly. And so many people don't, because there's the news censors these things. The three-letter news agencies, they censor these things. They give them very, very little time, if any time at all. If Democrats have the power to rewrite this, like I said, it'll be the beginning of the end of free speech. And according to, interesting that according to the Cato survey, a Cato survey done in 2017, do you know that 52% of Democrats and 40% of all Americans believe that the government should prevent hate speech? Okay. A quarter of Americans already falsely believe that hate speech is illegal. We are on the verge of Americans surrendering their right to free speech. And Section 230 may be the catalyst for that to happen. Free speech in America includes hate speech. Do I like hate speech? No. Do I think it should be legal? Absolutely. Listen, there are people that say horrible things in our comment sections or our emails or even letters. People have the time to sit down and literally handwrite a letter to me. And guess what? I am for their free speech. Because once you go down that road, it's kind of like how these AI, they have this woke bias. We're seeing that online, right? ChatGPT and these other ones, they have like this woke bent to them. And that's because of who's programming it. Because to them, it's not woke. It's just, that's their worldview. And so the worldview of these tech elites, what they deem hate speech, I do not deem hate speech. And they would label everything, most of our programs, hate speech. So it's like literally who's in control of it. There is a war. And I want to talk about this other article. I think it's really important. It says there is a war on free speech. And they won't ever be satisfied until it's completely eradicated. And this is actually from our friend, Michael Snyder, over at his site, The Most Important News. The article says this: the freedom to say whatever we want is one of the most fundamental rights in a free society. If we are not free to speak up, it is just a matter of time before all of our other rights are taken away as well. So it should deeply alarm all of us that free speech is under attack like never before. Much of the population has become convinced that hate speech is a special class of speech that does not deserve protection. Of course, in practice, hate speech ends up being whatever forms of expression that the leftist elite hate. That is why hate speech laws are always written so vaguely. That way, they can be used to go after whoever the leftist elite feel like going after at the time. It is not always easy to have a society where people are allowed to say whatever they want. People say things to me that deeply offend me, and there are some that have said things about me that are tremendously hateful and untrue. But if we are going to have a free society, people have to be free to say whatever they want. So we should never support freedom of speech being taken away from anyone. Because once we start going down that slippery slope, it's just a matter of time before they come after our freedom to say what we want. And that is what is happening in the state of Washington. It's unbelievably alarming. A new law, are you ready for this? Would allow private individuals to collect up to $2,000 if they report someone to the new, quote, hate crimes and bias incidents hotline. Senate Bill 5427 in the state of Washington. After it is signed into law, would allow private individuals, note, this is not limited to American citizens, meaning if someone is even here illegally, they would have a right to report anybody for what they deem as hate speech, to report bias incidents to the state attorney general's office with the possibility of receiving up to $2,000 of taxpayer money for this non-criminal incident. This bill was very clear. This is a non-crime because hate speech is not a crime. This is a non-crime which they will then forward to local law enforcement to investigate. What's to investigate? No crime, no investigation. You see, the progressives and Marxists who sponsor this bill say it is intended to help victims of hate crimes before a crime even happens. In reality, SB 5127 would create a tattletale hotline, undermine legitimate criminal investigations, and freeze, not just chill, speech and the press in Washington state. People will stop talking to others and writing to others except very close friends and relatives for fear of a greedy Karen and how she will report them to Washington's version of the Gestapo. We are in the end times. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 9 and 10 says, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. Matthew 24, 12 says, and because lawlessness was increased, the love of many will grow cold. You know, and cold love is the opposite of warm familial affection. For example, in Genesis 43:30, when Joseph was about to reveal his identity to his brothers, it says that Joseph hurried out, for his compassion grew warm for his brother, and he sought a place to weep. We see the same thing in Hosea 11:8. God says to Israel, how can I give you up, O Ephraim? My heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm and tender. So cold love is the shell of love that has lost its inner familial warmth. And cold love betrays. The effect of this coldness is that brother betrays brother. Matthew 24:10, then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another, like we stated before. That hate is the final outcome of hypocritical love. Just the shell of love where the warmth has gone out, the ice has come in, and the upshot is no longer just hypocritical love, but rather hate that betrays brother to brother. Matthew chapter 10, verse 21 and 22. Brother will betray brother to death. And a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And Jesus says that the reason for this upsurge of cold, hypocritical love, like I said, the love that looks for opportunities to turn in their neighbor, to turn in their brother, like what Washington is putting forth right now, incentivizing betrayal in many cases. that hypocritical love that eventually betrays a brother is owing to the increase of lawlessness, like we started saying just a few minutes ago. Matthew 24:12 says, because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. It is because of lawlessness, the absence of law. Lawlessness, it's a deep hostility to authority, especially God's authority. That's what lawlessness is at its root. You know, it's I will not submit to law from outside of my sovereign self. I view myself as a little God walking the earth. I will not subject myself to authority and to the laws. I'm going to yield to authority no longer. Right? That's what I'm talking about. And the upsurge of lawlessness is the upsurge of self, the mind of the flesh over God, the insubordinate. I will not submit, stiff-necked self. And Paul speaks directly to lawlessness in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 in relation to the second coming. He says that a great apostasy must come before the end, along with the man of lawlessness. Made that connection between Matthew 24 and 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The mystery of lawlessness is already at work. This is 2 Thessalonians 2, 7 and 8. Only he who now restrains it will do so until he is out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming. So just when anti-authoritarian lawlessness inside and outside the church seems to be reaching its absolute peak in history, Jesus will step forward and he will return on the clouds, and there will be a great reversal. Listen, we try to cover the topics that are important to you, to the body of Christ. Censorship is coming. It's coming even to a greater capacity to the church. I pray that the Supreme Court makes the right and the decision that we can have these moments of reprieve to keep building and to keep doing what needs to be done. But ultimately, or in the end times, and that's why, once again, like I've said on 100 shows, at the end of the day, always remember, always keep that perspective. Always look at the world, but have the filter, right? Have, you know, like the rose-colored glasses where, you know, you just see through a filter. Always have the filter on your eye gate that this life is temporary. And praise God for it. I can't wait for heaven. Heaven is going to be just so awesome. We don't have to deal with these things any longer. But just always remember that this life is but a vapor. We're here for just a little while, and then we spend eternity somewhere else. So if you've made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, you can rest assured that even though this life is hard, this life is tough, we're behind enemy territories, we have eternity to look forward to in heaven. Listen, we are totally out of time, so I've got to go. We'll see you all next week.